for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is a 2020 annual ladies' conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday evening, February the 21st, 2020. Deborah Vales is the speaker of the evening, teaching on healing the wounded spirit.
Can you clap those hands and praise the Lord? Oh, come on, watch your hands, come on. Stand to your feet and give a shout to the Lord tonight. I dare you to praise Him, I dare you to praise Him, I dare you. I dare you to give Him glory like you really mean it, because He is the King of Kings and He is the Lord of Lords. Come on, somebody. He is to be exalted. He's to be lifted up and magnified on tonight. Oh, yes, He inhabits the praises of His people. He dwells in the midst of praise. Oh, yes, He abides in the midst of praise. On the hilltop, He is your refuge on tonight. Praise the Lord. Some of you looking at me funny, but I dare you to just praise Him one more time and clap those hands like you mean it tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, bless the Lord. We glorify the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 He is worthy on tonight. We bless the Lord. We honor Him. He is our life, health, and strength on tonight. And as Brother Moore was giving that, the dream, the scripture came to me that He does inhabit the praises of His people. And that simply means that He pleases to dwell with us when we praise Him. He comes and He will tabernacle with you. He will visit with you as you visit with Him. And I really, truly believe that is what God wants to do. He wants to pour out His Spirit on us, amen, anew and afresh. How many of you know He will not force Himself on you? The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. Yeah, that means He won't force Himself. He'll do only what you allow Him to do.
That's right. Amen.
He's not like the devil. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus comes to give us life, and that more abundantly. I'm so thankful for the life of God tonight.
Amen.
Amen. It's an honor to be here one more time, and we're just going to do what the Lord has commissioned us on tonight. I'm going to go into the Word of the Lord, and I'm going to teach on. The topic is healing the wounded spirit. And I really believe that the Lord has confirmed this message tonight.
Amen.
And I'm thankful to God. Whenever we have to speak, it's not an easy thing, because we want to make sure we're doing what the Lord wants us to do. But I'm thankful tonight already for the Word and what we've already heard. And I trust that God will do in you tonight that you need Him to do as you open up to Him. So if you will pray with me, I'm going to pray a prayer, and then we're going to move further tonight. Amen. Father, we thank You. We praise You tonight for Your loving kindness and Your tender mercy. We thank You, Lord, that Your name is above every name. We petition You today to help us. We look to You tonight, Father. In the name of Jesus, we declare, according to Your word, that every knee will bow, every tongue confess that You are Lord. We thank You, Lord, today that nothing can separate us from the love of Jesus. Father God, we thank You for Your power and Your protection. We thank You that You have made us more than a conqueror. Through Him, through You, because You love us, oh God, we are persuaded tonight, hallelujah, that neither death nor life, yes, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God We know that God, you're for us, so who can be against us? The enemy will not be able to bring charge against us, oh God, because we're justified in the blood of Jesus. Father, tonight we apply and appropriate your blood, the blood of Jesus, to our lives. We declare that no weapon formed against us will prosper, and every tongue that rise up against God, your elect, you will condemn, because this is our righteousness, and it is from the Lord.
Yes.
So tonight, Father, we flee from every sin. We submit ourselves to you, O God. We will lean and depend on you, our strong tower, and not on our own understanding. Father God, your word says that in all our ways, we are to acknowledge you, and you will direct our path. So we will overcome the enemy today by the blood of the Lamb of Jesus Christ. So we close every gap. We confess every sin, known and unknown. My God, hallelujah, even those things that we are not aware of, we repent tonight of all sin. And we come against the enemy with the word of our testimony. And we love not our life to the death. Father, we're confident that you are able to keep us and to present us faultless before you, O God. We thank you tonight, Lord, that you've given us power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. O God, we thank you tonight that we're not afraid of the enemy, nor will we leave ourselves open for his attacks. So right now, Father, I ask you to close the doors, the gaps, oh God. Bridge the gaps tonight in our lives. And Father, even as we open up to you, we know, Father, that in opening up to you, we are saying yes to your will and yes to your way. So I ask you, Lord, that as we begin tonight, that Father God, whatever needs to be worked on, God, that we will be pliable in your hands. That Father God, when you knock on that door, we will open up to you, but we will close up to the enemy. We will not allow the things to even come at our mind. Oh God, wicked vices from the enemy, pull down now in the mighty name of Jesus. Satan, we rebuke you in the name of Jesus. We thank you that you are bound. Every demonic force and demonic rat, taproot is bound right now in the name of Jesus. We bind the command and ruler spirits, all wicked spirits that have been assigned, oh God, is bound right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Every stronghold of the mind, bind it up now, Father God, as we put on the armor of God, as we, oh God, clothe ourselves with the helmet of salvation, my God, the breastplate of righteousness, as we put on the belt of truth tonight and shield ourselves with the shield of faith, oh God. And oh God, raise up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Father, we choose tonight to walk in your word. Oh God, so shod our feet, my God, with your word. My God, I thank you that your handmaids are battle axes in your hands, oh God. I thank you, Father, that we are weapons of war, even on tonight, even though we know we need to be healed and we need to be delivered. But oh God, I pray that each woman that's here tonight will recognize that they are warriors and you're calling them to arise. Father God, I thank you that even on tonight, they will take their rightful place in you. So right now, Father, as we go into this word, I ask you, Lord, take us deep in you. Hide us behind the cross. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you and we praise you. We call a halt to every attack of the enemy, every attack to our mind, in the name of Jesus. Father God, we thank you that the angels of the Lord will do warfare. There, they will break the teeth and jaws of the enemy in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you, God, that you're increasing our discernment. My God, you're making us keen and strong in you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you now that every false witness, every false accuser of the brethren, every false prophet, every spirit of abandonment, oh God, is being destroyed right now. We bind all sickness. We bind premature death. We bind death to dreams. We bind death to hope in the name of
Jesus. Blow hope back in to the bellies of your handmaids. In the mighty name of Jesus, we come against all discouragement, all heaviness, all oppressive spirits. In Jesus' name, we bind death and accidents, disease and strokes, fears of cancer. In the name of Jesus, we bind mind control, depression and oppression. All tormenting spirits, be bound now in Jesus' name. Father God, we thank you that divination is bound, witchcraft is bound, familiar spirits is bound, and every witch and warlock that's around this premise, that's in this region, call a halt to them now. Bind them up right now, my God. Gag them up right now, Jesus. Father God, every wicked curse that would come from the north, the south, the east, and the west, bind up right now in the name of Jesus. Bind and blind the eye of every medium in the name of the Lord. We thank you, Father, that you have given us authority to walk in it. Oh, God, and right now, I thank you in advance that you even use all of the handmaids that are on this program this weekend. I thank you for Jerry. I thank you for the word that's stirring down in her belly even now. I thank you, Father, that you're giving her keen eyes. In the mighty name of Jesus, we call a halt to the devil that's come to kill, steal, and destroy. Oh God, we thank you that you are moving in her now. We thank you, Father, that your perfect will be done in her life. I thank you for my sister Carla. I thank you for this woman of God. I ask you, God, oh God, use her for your glory and honor. My God, I thank you for what you're doing up in here. I thank you, Father, for the power of the Holy Ghost right now. Move in the name of Jesus. Oh God, destroy every stronghold in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you now. Have your way, God. Have your way up in here in Jesus' name. And Father God, as the chains fall off, as the fetters fall, your women servants will arise with a new praise. They will rise with hope in their belly. They will know, God, that there is a God. They will know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you did not bring them here just to do it, but you have a divine plan. So we thank you now, and we will continue to give you praise, give you honor, and give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Clap them hands and praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. For too long, the enemy has sought to bind up his people. But I believe that the Bible is true when he says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is freedom. Freedom is found in Jesus. I don't believe you came all the way here to be chained and bound and can't praise God. I believe that when the man of God stood up here tonight and he said we needed to praise God, but nobody moved. Nobody moved. Maybe you were wondering what to do. Forgive me for leaving the camera.
Oh, I'll follow you, honey.
I come to tell you tonight, if you shake it loose, I don't care how strange you look. I don't care how funny it looks. Sometimes you got to get out of the norm. Sometimes you got to dare to be different. Sometimes you got to get out of your comfort zone and dare to praise God, my God, today. Ah, Moshe. Oka toboshe la sandoboshe. Rekoto shata. Eto shande beseke. Mondo shande. Rokotiaba. Sata. Shadabose. Glory to God. In this hour, we need the power of God to move in us. We don't need a form and a fashion. We need the type of prayer that as soon as you see should stand down.
Amen.
See, I was in the army. And I know what it is to get on the battlefield and fight. Because my enemy needs to stand down. Especially if God wants us to take the territory. You can't take it. Amen. Mamby-pamby. You got to know what's in you. You don't go through battles and get battle scars just to get them. Come on now. You know, in the spiritual realm, we get shot sometimes. We'll talk a little bit about wounds. And those wounds come to take you out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they do.
They come to take you out. And it takes someone that can understand where you are to get you healed. So what the Lord showed me, sister, as I was studying this, he said, Deb, you know, do you know why there's hospitals? I said, well, because people get sick and they need help. He said, well, a real hospital or clinic will get you in there, diagnose the problem, but really, if it's really to help you, they will get you what you need for your body to heal you. Okay? You understand what I'm saying? Because really, God has really made these bodies tough.
Yeah.
And you can heal yourself.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes,
that's
right.
Yes. Come on. You don't have to believe me.
Come on. Come on.
If you get a cold, what does your body do? And I bind the enemy now that would try to come at my voice, because I'm going to say what God wants me to say tonight. So when you get a cold, the first thing your body does, it goes into a mode of defense, but a counterattack of the bacteria that comes in your body. And if your immune system is strong enough, it will fight off the cold. Don't you know that in the Bible, in the Word, God gives us what we need to fight the enemy? And one of the things that's important is that we take the Word of God and use that, not what I think, what I think might be, but what does God's Word tell me? I can't fight with what I think. I have to fight with what I know. And I know, dear sister, that the Word is true. So in order to get healed, and even on tonight, to get healed, we must take our medicine.
Yes.
The Bible is full of scriptures that will help you overcome.
Yes.
Help you to learn how to praise Him.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
We'll give you what you need to learn how to worship Him and get in His presence.
Yes. Amen.
This is where real life is, in the presence of the Lord.
Yes. Amen.
Oh, bless His name. So the purpose of this tonight is to expose the seeds of emotional damage. And wounds come to damage us emotionally, to cripple us, to keep us from our potential. But like I said, a hospital or clinic really should just give you just enough for your body to kick in and heal itself. Healing comes from God. Come on, it comes from God. It is God's will that we walk in divine healing. I've been praying for some issues. I've been praying for Mom Jerry. And the Lord spoke something to me, Jerry, and I'm going to share it with you in private. But I know God will heal you. I go on record to say it, Carla, because He's a healer.
Amen.
A couple weeks ago, a sister in our church, her eyes came out of their sockets. And they were bulging. And they were so big, Carla, people was wondering what's wrong with her. I mean, you could tell. And the Lord gave me a word of knowledge and said, tell her I'm going to heal her.
Oh,
Bible shake. I went on the limb and said, Sister, the Lord said he's going to heal you. Yesterday, my God, as we were on for our mentorship, she said, Apostle, I must tell you, I went to the doctor and my eyes are back in place. Oh my God. And not only that, she said, I need new glasses because this prescription is too strong. God is a healer. Came to set the captive free. So the Bible says that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus comes to have that we may have life. And that more abundantly. God has called you to liberty. It's my prayer tonight that healing and wholeness will be your portion. That when you leave here, you will leave another way. Yes. You will leave knowing that God is on your side and victory is yours every day of the world. So we're talking about healing the wounded spirit, which starts in our emotions. Now, our emotions is a good thing. There are good emotions, bad emotions, all kind of emotions, right? But our emotions is a feeling such as happiness and love, sometimes fear, sometimes anger. Anybody ever been angry in here? Anybody felt like, you know, punching somebody's lights out? I think all of us have been there. It's an emotion, right? But the Bible says, be angry, but sin not, children. So sometimes we want to react, and God will say, don't draw your hand back to hit him. Don't slap her today. Come on. Yeah. Hallelujah. Walk away and pray. Come on. What's a wound? A wound is an injury caused by violence or a sudden blow. Some of us have received them just recently. Sudden blow, something that comes right out of the blue. I was trying to get ready today, and, you know, I really, really had a little bit of a time today, and I went in there and in my room and I was trying to find something and my tripod fell on my foot. Yeah. So now I got a big bruise. I got a little bruise on my foot. I said, I know I'm supposed to go now. Trying to hit my foot. Come on. And I just, you know, I just sat there, wanted to cry. I said, okay, Lord, now you touch me now. You just help me. You know I'm a big baby. I don't need to have no pain. Come on here. Glory to God. That was a wound, but that wound ain't stick. Come on. Mm-hmm. You know when the enemy's trying to hit you, right? You know when you got to press through. Come on here, somebody. Shake yourself just a minute. Amen. Shake yourself. Just give me about an hour. That's all I need. I'll be in a good time. Shake yourself. Glory to God. Let me share something with you about emotions. We all have a need to be accepted. We want to be acknowledged, admired, appreciated, approved of, believed in, cared about. We all want to be forgiven. Come on. Heard and helped and included. Now that's a big one. When I read that, I said, yeah, I'd like to be included. Sometimes you're not. And it's okay if you're not. Come on. You know what? I heard a preacher say this, and he's right, that some rejection is good for you. All rejection ain't bad. Just like all no's are not bad no's. So sometimes when the stop sign is put up and you're not allowed to enter, it may be God protecting you. Glory to God. We all have a need to be listened to, loved and trusted, noticed and understood, reassured and valued. We definitely want to be supported. Isn't that good? We want to be treated fairly. Now, sometimes we don't always see that we're treated fairly. We're not done right. You know, you can be on a job and you're up for a promotion and know you got the qualifications, but you're looked over. You still have to smile. You have to go back to work the next day and do your job.
do it good.
No good and well, that's right. You can't slip up. Come on. Well, I'm going to give them 5 hours instead of 8. I'll sit here for 3. No, you got to give them 8 hours. Now, we know they're negative and positive emotions like grief. But the opposite of that is joy. And there's a time when we grieve, isn't it? There's a time when we may go through some sorrow. But God will turn the pain into laughter. He'll turn that frown, come on, into a smile. Yes, He will. Glory to God. That heartache. And He'll give you contentment and let you know it's going to be all right.
Hallelujah.
Come on here. Somebody said the song, say, trouble don't last always. It don't. Come on.
Hallelujah.
Paul said, in whatever state I find myself in, I'm going to be content.
Yes.
Glory to God. In the ups and downs, ins and outs, be content. Now, sometimes depression will try to come, but God said He'll take depression and heaviness and give you joy. And one thing that's so important, Patty, about joy and lifting and giving you that garment of praise, just like tonight, I believe if we would have stepped out just a little bit, just a pinch, some breakthroughs will come and no one has to pray for you. No one has to lay hands on you or give you a word of knowledge or wisdom because God will do it Himself. But He wants you to step into that realm. Trust Him in that way. He'll take hatred and give you peace. Okay. Glory to God. What causes damaged emotions? Wounds and injuries have been caused by negative words, actions, attitudes inflicted upon us by others. Often in our childhood, growing up. That's why sometimes we come for prayer and we may be mad at Maybelle or Mary Lou or Boo Boo, but Boo Boo ain't the one. It's Mom. Is Bobo way back when. And you have to go all the way back to square one. Clean that up. Come all the way back to Maybelle. You can forgive her. Isn't that right? That's not always the case, but it is sometimes. Because if you, and I do agree, if you can't let something go, you need to go deeper. But I believe that when you're talking about wounds, and let me say something real quick about this here. A wise woman of God told me this. I received a wound one time, and she said, you've been wounded. You got to be healed. You must forgive. Right then, I had to put that into action. I couldn't wait. I couldn't stew. Come on. I had to make a choice. I forgive. Did the hurt go away? No. Did I feel better right then? No. But I knew I was going to be better because I made a choice. And I knew that I couldn't revert on that choice. So as soon as you're wounded, forgive. Right then and there. Say, Lord, I give this to you. I need your help. I can't make it without you. Now, I just pray that simple prayer all the time because it seems to help me. Whatever helps, whatever works for you, do it. But don't hold on to it. Listen, there are traumatic things that happen in our lives, some things we have no control over. But don't you know God knows right where you are right now? He knows what you're dealing with. And I believe He allowed you to come so you can get the healing you need. That good? Listen, there are kinds of trauma that can have a negative impact on you, like rejection. Parental indifference, like children sometimes. You'll have one child that's a good child, that's a kind child, that doesn't give their parent any trouble, and they get all the goods. And then you have another child that's not quite like that. And they're always compared to the other one. We want you to be like Johnny. Well, he ain't Johnny. Don't you be like Mary Beth. She ain't her. We're each unique and different. So sometimes trauma can come as a result of being treated unfairly, again, like we said already, indifferent. Sometimes because of bereavement, a sudden loss hits you out of the blue. Trauma, pain, loss, feeling of hopelessness. What am I going to do? God will come in and help Now, go all the way back to Genesis. And in the Garden of Eden, I think Adam and Eve had everything going on for them. Until one day, they listened to the wrong voice. Their emotions got messed up. Before you know it, they were on the wrong side. They got offended at God. Right? When Eve bit that apple, or whatever it was. Don't matter what, it could have been a peach, I don't know. But whatever it was, the moment she did that, change took place. But when Adam did it, their eyes were open. Then they got ashamed. Sin causes shame and guilt and remorsefulness, all of that. But they got offended at God. They were damaged because of sin. And we know that there were some consequences to that. Because then God had to step in and say, okay, now I got to bring a redeemer to mankind. I got to let the woman know the trouble she's going to have in childbirth. And man now will have to, you know, work. When Adam had it easy. He had it easy. All he had to do was tend. You look up that word tend. It's a caretaker. He didn't have to work. He didn't have to pull no weeds. In a way, okay. He didn't have to work. But he did have to watch out for the enemy. He was to protect her, and he didn't do his job. So God said, okay, I got to bring a redeemer in, Jesus Christ. But how many of you know it's a blessing to know that the blood of Jesus covers our sins? Yeah, even now, thank God for the blood. I want to ask you a question. Does God have emotions? Yeah, he does. You know, he shows anger sometimes. In Psalm 7:11, it says, God judges the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. Whoa. He laughs. In Psalms 37:13, the Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. He'll laugh at folks' calamity. And I don't want God laughing at me like that. He has compassion, according to Judges 2:18. And the Lord raised up judges, and then he was the judge. He delivered the people out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For it repented, in other words, he had compassion. It repented him because of the groanings by reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them. So God didn't like it that his people had enemies and they were vexed. He had compassion. I'm thankful for his compassion tonight. His mercy is new every morning. Great is his faithfulness to us. Sometimes he gets grieved. In Genesis 6:6 it says, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth. It grieved him at his heart. And it was because of the sin and degradation that they'd gotten themselves into. And I'm sure God is grieved at some of the things that's going on right now. Look at the world. God ain't agreeing with everything. You all know that, right? He don't agree, even though some things it looks like he's allowing right now. But God don't agree with sin. Come on. He don't agree with the decisions being made. A lot of things is happening. And you may think, well, where's God? He's sitting there. He's seeing everything. And when his heart is grieved, what about the church? Are we praying? Praying the heart of God? Anyway, love. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God's a jealous God. In Exodus 34:14, it says, for thou shalt worship no other God, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God. So we can't have nothing before him. Thank you, Lord. Finally, he's full of joy. Zephaniah 3:17, it says, the Lord God in the midst of you is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. Thank you, Jesus. Now let me tell you. Glory to God. Okay. How do we get healed? First of all, we must get rid of self-pity. Because when we get wounded, the first thing we want to do is feel sorry for ourselves. I kind of want to feel sorry for myself today when that crazy thing fell on my leg. You know what I'm saying? I wanted to, you know, whine a little bit. Come on. I couldn't do it. I said, okay, get up, Deb. It ain't that bad. Okay. We cannot cope with life if we are feeling sorry for ourselves and not taking responsibility. Sometimes when things happen to us, you got to look at the whole picture. Look at yourself in it. Maybe the Lord may say, well, you know, I tried to warn you. You didn't listen. Come on. And you got to take responsibility. If we learn to feel our pain, and you know when pain comes, first thing you want to do is not feel it.
That's right.
Right? You want to do something real quick so you don't feel no pain. Okay, anyway. Yeah. Understand it. Learn from it. You know, things I've gone through over the last several years, we can learn from everything we go through. Ain't all bad. Thank God for it, because you know what? They really were stepping stones. Hallelujah. Yeah. So listen, number one, you face your problem squarely. Run toward the roar. Don't run away from it. Accept your responsibility in the matter, number two. Number three, ask yourself if you want to be healed. Because some people get it so they don't want to be healed. They want to be stroked. It's true. They don't want to come out of it. Number four, forgive everyone who is involved in the problem. Everybody. Don't leave nobody off the list. Number five, forgive yourself. Number six, ask the Holy Spirit to show you what your real problem is. That's a lesson in itself, ain't it? Okay. All right. I'm going to talk a little bit about betrayal. We're talking about wounds, and we'll get to healing in a minute. Sometimes betrayal comes. Betrayal is one of the worst things a person can experience. But it's one way that brings wounds in our lives. You can be free from wounds received as a result of betrayal. Betrayal comes for your existence, worth, position, and purpose. Betrayal tries to get you to prove who you are, even though it clearly knows who you are. And wants you dead. Now the devil wants you down. Yeah. He wants you silent, finished, done, through, in the coffin. Okay, anyway. Ah, glory to God. I'm having fun, y'all. Yes. This is the reason that Jesus would not save himself from being crucified. He had nothing to prove. Betrayal usually occurs with someone who has partaken of you, of who you are. In other words, they've gotten close to you, know you, fellowship with you, befriend. That's what happened to Judas. They are aware of your identity, your value, your ability, and your purpose. But they are willing to sacrifice who you are for their personal gain. Though betrayal is meant to ignite death, the betrayer may not consider this when they're sacrificing you. I'm sure Judas Iscariot didn't consider everything when the enemy finally got him to go and turn Jesus over. I think he only saw it from one view. But once he saw that it didn't go that way, he was in trouble. Many do not realize this until it's too late, as whether done ignorantly or unintentionally, there's no undoing betrayal. Oftentimes, relationships of betrayal cannot be mended because the betrayer either cannot forgive themselves or cannot shift past what they did to you. Now, as I was studying this again, the Lord brought back an incident that happened several years ago. A young lady that was rising up in ministry, and she really thought that she could do my job and do it better than me. So she proceeded to sow discord. She proceeded to sow all types of negative words. And she eventually got what she thought she wanted. But it turned sour. It didn't go well. And just a long story short, it's still not going well. But you know, when things like that happen, you have to love people and forgive them. And when I was brought back into fellowship with her, called me in to speak, and the first thing she said to me, she said, "Please forgive me. I love you." She said, "I was wrong." I said, "Okay. I'm sorry." Okay. I listened to her. I mean, she was so, I could tell she was in trouble. To this day, she can't even listen to my voice. She can't listen to me preach. Because she's still battling. It's sad. Sometimes you betray a person, betray you, and they don't get up. They die. And in a sense, there's spiritual death there. And I love her. She's like a spiritual daughter. I still love her to this day. You got to love people. She helped me go further. Come on. I thank God for that. Because that incident helped me, Jerry. It helped me to learn more about loving Jesus. So sometimes, I'm telling you all this today, because you might be in this situation, or maybe you've been there and struggling and don't know how to get out of it because somebody's done something to you and you're having a trouble forgiving them. You must let them go. You must let them go. Because if you hold them in jail, you are in jail with them. Let them go. Sometimes your very presence is a constant reminder of their actions. And so in order to have a relationship with you, they have to see you from a new place. Sometimes they can't do that. Sometimes people keep you in a false light. You love them and go on. One thing the Lord is teaching me, yeah, you don't have to prove anything to anybody. Just be who I want you to be.
Amen.
Love. Walk in my love. Walk in the light of the Word. Put on Jesus every day. Come on. Stay in the Word of God. When I finally learned that I need to stop worrying about what everybody else says and I need to really be concerned about Jesus, things begin to change in my life. Come on. Amen. You want to get healed? You must let God shape you and change you into the image that He has for you, not for what other people may have for you. God knows the inward part of you, sister. He knows you. He knows your makeup better than anybody else. And He knows how to put the pieces in place at the right time. You must allow Him to do it. Stop worrying about what other people say about you. What is Jesus saying about you? That's what matters. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank God for the anointing tonight. So we know what happened in Matthew 27 verses 3 through 5 with Judas. The Bible said, you know, he was troubled and he was all messed up and he was, you know, he really had a terrible time. So he went back to his buddies and he took the money back and he said, "Hey, I've sinned." They said, "What do we care? We don't care. You see to it." Dropped the money there and went out and hung himself. The enemy really got a foothold in his life. Many betrayers will not physically take their life, but they will kill the relationship with you because they cannot stomach the responsibility of their actions toward you. When betrayal spirals, it causes others to betray, even if they do not agree or have no clue why you're being betrayed. They jump on the bandwagon like they did with Jesus. Crucify him. Simply because the others around them are doing it. Often when leaders are betrayed, the only thing you've done wrong is be you. Just trying to please God. trying to get people saved, you understand? Teaching and praying and doing all you know to do. You're just being you.
Right.
It's okay. God got you.
Amen.
Most times, the only transgression that occurred was that you were about your father's business. You were walking in destiny and the enemy wanted to abort it. He rattled a few haters and had them whisper in an insecure person's ear that had access to you. Or maybe he had haters show their indignation towards you, and that insecure person became the catalyst for the spirit of betrayal to operate. I believe Paul faced that over and over again with people, everywhere he went, because, you know, he just kept a crowd rattled. He'd go into a city, start preaching, look like revival break out, and then before you know it, him and Barnabas or Silas, whoever's with him, they're running. They go to the next. I said, man, I thought we had it this time. Paul, what you doing, man? Well, come on, they say, you know, Jesus said, if we're not received, just shake the dust off. Let's go, run, quick. Now, how do you dismantle betrayal? I'll give you 13 points, and I'm going to pray. Number one, don't defend yourself. It's a big one. Don't try to defend yourself. Do not defend who you are to jealous, covetous, and hating people.
Amen.
Oops. Even those in authority will come for you and try to shake you in your identity. Make you feel like what has occurred is your fault and you should rectify it. They will try to use their platform and position to get you to agree with lies that have been spoken about you and untruths regarding your identity. Speak the facts. The truth in love and meekness. You ain't got to holler. You ain't got to squall. Now, you know, I can be a very excited person. Yeah, I can. My voice can rise up, Carl, and go way up there. But when you're in conversation and things like that, that ain't time to do that. You calm down and calm down, right? First of all, what that does is that makes the enemy look like a fool. I know I pushed that button. I know I pushed that button. And she ain't yelling. Nope. Now I might yell later. But I ain't yelling in a negative way. Come on.
I know.
Don't let the enemy push that button. Just tell the truth and be quiet. Do not argue and don't defend. Respect whatever they believe is their truth, while peacefully not wavering on yours. Just be who you are and let God in you speak for himself. Number two, choose your battles. Even as God will redeem you, you will have to pick and choose when to stay silent as the process of betrayal unfolds, and when to speak the truth. Jesus said that all would know the truth after the betrayal was over. He was sitting at the right hand of God, floating in the clouds, if you will. The power, miracles, signs, and wonders after the betrayal is where your life really speaks and defends you. This may not come for days. Sometimes it may take months and years. It's okay. Mm-hmm. Be okay with allowing it to be your voice, rather than you defending yourself from an experience that is already unfolded and cannot be stopped. Okay? So once betrayal begins, it fulfills its agenda, whether we like it or not. In other words, some things are happening, you'd be like, can't we stop this and get off? It's a dream. Can we wake up now? Come on. Well, anytime, wake me up, Lord. You say, no, this ain't no dream, it's real. Got to go through it. The pain, reproach, and death is inevitable. I would have to say, sometimes you die a spiritual death, then you're raised to life and in resurrected power. The challenge is this, that once betrayal unfolds, many people try to stop it. This just makes matters worse, beloved, and makes us look guilty. You're fighting against a transaction that has taken on a spiritual assault within the minds and ideologies of people and within the spirit realm. So the best way to combat this is to walk it out. Let God and your destiny avenge you.
Amen.
And He will do it. May take a minute. That's okay. A minute may be a long time. That's okay. Just let it work its process, okay? Number three, forgive. Forgive and release those who persecute you, no matter how hard it is to let the pain go. Forgive. You must do it unconditionally, without having to see nothing, okay? Because this is what the Bible says about forgiveness in Matthew 6, 14 and 15. It says, if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, then your Father will not forgive your sins. You know, Peter got smart one day, and then he go ask the Lord in Matthew 18, 21, 22, well, how many times must I forgive? Come on now. Maybe just three or four. He said, 70 times 7. That means you can't keep up with that. Right? You know what you're going to do? Get a calendar? One. Two. Come on. You're going to quit that. Come on. You've got to forgive. No matter how many times it is. Okay? Number four, release the pain. Okay? You may go through bitterness, angry, be enraged, appalled, baffled, confused, tormented, feel rejected, all of these little feelings, all this stuff. You want to retaliate? Say, can I just get my point across? Can't I just say this statement? I'll write the statement out and I'll read the statement. They'll say, you ain't going to say that. Come on. No. But you must release the pain. Okay? Go feel it. God will let you know. Let it go. Somebody's going to say it like this right here. Release them and let them go. Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. And I'm going to read this in the Amplified. It says, let all bitterness and indignation and wrath, passion, rage, come on, bad temper and resentment, anger, animosity, and quarreling, brawling, clamor, contention, and slander, evil speaking, abusive or blasphemous language be banished from you with all malice, spite, ill will, or baseness of any kind, and become useful and helpful and kind to one another. Tender-hearted, compassionate, understanding, loving-hearted, forgiving one another readily and freely as God in Christ forgave you. I'm going to share something real quick here, real quick. A couple months ago, one of my children called me, relayed to me a story. Said one of my daughters was upset because they didn't send a Christmas card. Well, I didn't send no Christmas cards to nobody since 1999. 1999, okay? Well, come to find out, that daughter wasn't upset at all. She lied. It was her that was the problem. She was the one. But she didn't tell that. Now, I found out. Because I believe if you call me about something, I'm going to go find out what's going on. If I'm offended somebody, I need to get it right, right? But I found out. She lied. And she didn't repent for it. She said, I ain't saying nothing. I ain't going back to her. I said, okay, Lord, how do I handle it? He said, I got it. I got this. Well, how many days ago? 10 days ago? I had to go see her. She was bad sick. I said, Lord, you want me to go? go see about her. She's in the hospital. Bad headaches. Wouldn't go away. Real bad. So it got so bad, the Lord said, you have to go. She got on the phone, she was crying to me. I said, I'll be there. Carla, I went. Just like nothing had happened. Not what people do to you, baby. It's how you act. I had to forgive her for that. I couldn't hold that lie against her. And I could have said, I am not going down there. Nope. But the love of God. I got down there, and the Lord spoke to me after about 3 days and said, you thought you came for her, but you really didn't. Came for her husband. Had a double bypass surgery. I said, wow. But what if I'd have kept that mess in my heart? You understand what I'm trying to tell you? Unforgiveness. You got to forgive people. You can't hold nothing in your heart toward anybody. I don't care what they do, how dishonest they may be. Now let it go. I'm thankful today, Carla. Everybody, for God teaching me His love. And I'm still learning it. I ain't there yet. You know, you want to kick the dog every now and then. Can't do that. Let people go. And I think it humbled her greatly when she saw me.
Praise God.
And I don't think she'll lie to me no more. Number five. Conquer the shock and trauma. I'm almost there. Don't get stuck inside trauma, the pain of betrayal. Do not bury the trauma and woundedness of betrayal. Jesus could have died and refused to raise up. Now, what would have happened if he said, I ain't getting up? I'm going to die, but I ain't getting up. What would that would have been? No, he didn't do that. He died. If he either died, if it had just been for you, Mary. That's how much he loves you. Jesus had work to do. He had purpose beyond betrayal. I want to tell you, you got purpose. Come on. Your life is worth living. Come on. Because Jesus is the giver of life. Glory to God. Sometimes you'll be tempted to quit and all this stuff. You want to hide. You know, you just want to bury yourself and say, you know, I ain't going out no more. I ain't answering the phone. I'm not going out there. I can stay at home. I've said that before, but I won't say that no more. I won't say that no more, Kim. I don't do that no more. Because the Lord said, one of these times you might do this, and I'm going to say, okay. No, I ain't going to take that chance.
Amen.
No, it ain't worth it. Nobody is worth you losing your destiny over.
That's right.
Nobody.
Amen.
Walk out your walk.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
Walk it out. Walk it with Jesus. All right. Let me move. Where I'm at. Number six. Break powers of fiery darts. Break the power of shame, guilt, public reproach, and the accuser of the brethren. Declare favor and blessings over yourself with man and God. Cleanse yourself of all fiery darts and daggers. How you do it? With the word. Break word curses. Okay? All that stuff that will be sent by those who jumped on the bandwagon. All that stuff. Break it off. Number seven. Stand in your godly truth. Number seven. Confusion and bewitchment will come for your truth. They will come for your truth concerning the situation, your identity, who God is, your purpose, authority, and destiny. God is not the author of confusion. This is the work of the enemy trying to further entangle you in the bondage of betrayal. Now, whenever I was in a situation not long ago. There's a bunch of confusion stuff going on. And I was like, wait a minute, what in the world? What's all this? And the Lord let me know, get out of there. Too much confusion. Get out. Leave it alone. Because he's not the author of confusion. God's got a peace. Okay? You being got yourself into all, in a big mess. The trail of confusion. Because if there's confusion, there's something else going on that's not of God. Alright? Spend consistent time declaring out of your truth in every area and be quick in rebuking thoughts of confusion and bewitchment that come from your truth. Number 8, annihilate depression and loneliness. Come against that. Annihilate it. Put it down. Depression and loneliness will come for you. Okay? Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, he went through a heavy, heavy time there when he prayed that hour. It was heaviness. And he said, Lord, if there's any way, come on, let this pass. But finally he said, not my will. Come on, let your will be done. He came to peace. He knew he had to drink that cup. He had to go on through. He prayed it through before he went through. Oh my. I believe it helped him to pray through. Sometimes when we have to do the same thing, going through things, you pray through, you'll get through. You'll break through. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You get out on the other side and you'll see the glory of God. Hallelujah. Number 9, give up the need to avenge. Please know this, beloved, that you have to give up your drive and burning lust for revenge and to be avenged in order to really forgive and heal. You got to give that up. You don't have to see the person get it. Come on. You don't have to see them get the reward or whatever. Come on. You don't got to see it. You got to let it go all the way. All right? With the experiencing of betrayal, God does the judging and he does the avenging. God is going to bring justice to you, redeem you, and bless you right in the midst of your enemies. But it is by his design and timing. And you have to trust him with this part of the experience. So 2 Chronicles 20:15 says it this way. And he said, hearken ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but it is the Lord. In Romans 12:19 it says, beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Amen. Number 10, possess God's eyes. Ask God to give you a love and a compassion for those who betrayed you and to help you discern and engage them as he sees them. This will help you as you continue to deal with betrayal, the aftermath, and process forward in complete healing. This will also help you at times where you may have to interact with those who betrayed you. Those that did you wrong. And maybe they didn't betray you. Maybe these people didn't do you right. You know what I'm saying? It's like the example I just gave. I couldn't go down there looking at her crazy. I didn't think about that. No. I had a job to do. I did it. Mother and God helped me. Now thank God for, you know, I often hear Mom Jerry's voice of pray and stay in the Word. I hear it all the time. Because you stay in the Word of God, it'll keep you safe. It'll keep you loving right. Okay? All right, let's see where I'm at now. We must operate through love and compassion. The compassion of God. He'll give you a desire to want to see them delivered rather than destroyed. Because ultimately people get free. A lot of folks are in trouble tonight. We all want them free. Not you know. No, don't just burn them up, Lord, you know. You know what I'm saying? Just get rid of them. No. Okay. Number 11. Be watchful, meek, and temperate. Be watchful, meek, and temperate. Ask God for a meek and a temperate spirit to deal with conflicts and challenges that will arise during the aftermath of betrayal. Also be slow to speak. Slow to become offended. You want to stay out of offense. Rest in the truth of God. Search God for what to say and how to say it. So James 1:19 says it this way. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Be real slow, okay? Number 12, be a godly example. Be cognizant of the people watching you. Someone is watching you, watching what you do, watching what you say, watching how you act, watching how you move. Folks watch me all the time. Okay, really, truly, all the time. So you got to be cognizant of that. You never know who's watching you. Yeah. So even if they're waiting for you to fall, they're learning from your experience. You're teaching them how to overcome betrayal. The more we have people dealing with betrayal in a healthy manner, the less hurt and drama we'll have in the body of Christ. Finally, number 13, consistently check yourself. Conduct healing checks with the Lord. This is why deliverance and healing is so important and maintenance. Right? You want to keep close accounts with God. Make sure that you're running good. Healthy checkups. Okay? Ask God if you're healed yet and allow Him to show you areas where you're still wounded. This is important because the more you process towards healing, the better you will feel and the more confident you will be. But you want to make sure nothing is hiding, nothing has been stuffed, and that there is no residue of betrayal on you. You want to be fully resurrected in the new place and identity that you are to journey into. I want to heal, I want to pray, but I want to give you a prophetic prayer, and then I'm going to pray and I'm done tonight. So if you will, please stand. We're going to pray right now. I'm going to give you this prophetic prayer the Lord gave for you. The Lord said this. He said, I am the Lord your healer. Trust me and know that I will come through for you as you continue to put your complete trust and faith in me. I am the Lord your God, and I change not. Walk in my word, declare and decree my word, and know that I will prove myself to you. Continue to let, God said, continue to let my people know that I will be there all in all as they come to me with their whole heart. I am Jehovah Rapha, your healer. Give me your inner hurts and wounds. Do not hold on to past issues as they come up. Give them to me. Do not allow the enemy to bury you with thoughts of the past. Do not look to what I've cleansed, for I have thrown it away and I will not bring it up. Know that if it comes up, know that I want it out of your life. I do not look at you the way you look at yourself. I see you as the apple of my eye, says the Lord. I say to you, I am the Lord that heals you. Walk in my word and know that I will come through for you, says the Lord. Now I'm going to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you now and we thank you, Lord, for your word of truth. We thank you, Jesus, that you came to set the captive free. You came to heal the brokenhearted. I command every spirit of death that has come to annihilate your people to be destroyed in the name of Jesus. I break every chain and every fetter in the name of Jesus. I release your people, O God, from every area of brokenness due to hurts and wounds in the mighty name of Jesus. Every spirit of betrayal that has come to destroy, I ask you, Lord, to break the strongholds. Release them from pain and hurt in the name of the Lord Jesus.
I come against memory recall. That will replay in their mind, that tape recorder, that video recorder in the mind. Father, I ask you to destroy it now in the mighty name of Jesus. Incidents that are replaying in the mind, oh God, that's causing them to stay in a low place, a depressed place. We call that out now in Jesus' name. We come against and we command all bitterness and gall to leave them now in the name of the Lord. And I pray, God, that even over these next couple of days as ministry continues to go forth, I pray, God, that areas of bitterness, areas, oh God, of deep wounds that, God, you will uncover and heal and deliver and, oh God, set them free. We destroy, oh God, all bitterness, and we ask you, God, to go down to the roots of unforgiveness. Pull them up in Jesus' name. Go back to childhood. Go back, oh God, as far as necessary. Father God, we pray that total forgiveness will be wrought in the lives of your people. We break every soul tie now in the name of the Lord. Father God, put the soul back together. All fragmented souls in Jesus' mighty name. Father God, we thank you for wholeness. We thank you for completeness in you in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, that you're healing, oh God, from abandonment issues, rejection, oh God. Oh, Father God, we thank you for your healing now. Heal every broken place in the name of the Lord. All emotional damage, all mental blocks, my God, deliver, break the bands off the minds in the name of Jesus. We're speaking healing tonight. Oh God, we thank you for wholeness and we thank you for healing in the mighty name of the Lord. Father God, and I thank you, God, for rest even on tonight. And I know, Father, there is a stirring. I know there's a shaking, oh God, going on. But Father, we thank you for everything that you will do in the lives of your precious people. Father God, help us to walk in complete healing and victory. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you and we praise you for it all now. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Give the Lord hand praise tonight. God bless you. I pray the Spirit of the Lord and the Spirit of rest and sleep will rest upon you tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.